thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Hey, you're listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you're enjoying all the songs, along with the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, enjoy the Happy Hour podcast.
On RNIB Connect Radio.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and of course, the happy hour is back. It's Holly Tuke here with Paulina. We'll be keeping you company over the next hour.
And on the show today, we'll have a few ideas to boost your happiness, from picking up a new sport to some exciting workshops centered around beauty happening in Wales.
We'll also hear from a young woman about her journey through sight loss and the impact a great supportive community had on her well-being.
So once again, a really packed show today on the Happy Hour, but we'll squeeze in some great tunes in between, like Katy Perry and everyone's favourite Plain White Tees.
And we'll sneak in some random happy facts, or just some random facts.
I do have actually a very random fact for you today, Holly, and it has something to do with the towels.
I am very intrigued, so we will look forward to that one later. But for now, here's Shakin' Stevens. Last Man Alive from Shakin' Stevens. Now on the Happy Hour, we'll hear about a unique course that is helping blind and partially sighted people feel more confident and also more glamorous. Hal Davies has more.
A series of online workshops is aiming to help blind and partially sighted women to become more confident when applying makeup. Leading the sessions is Caris Groves, a community coordinator for SightLife Wales. Caris, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
And Caris, can you tell us a little bit more about the Beautifully Blind tutorials?
The idea actually came a long time ago. I've been in my role for nearly 5 years now. And probably in the first year or so, my volunteers in the office were mentioning to me the difficulties they had with applying makeup and really the negative impact it had on their sort of self-esteem and, you know, how it made them feel not being able to apply it since they'd perhaps lost more sight and the things that they'd, you know, never managed to sort of tackle with regards to their makeup. I also at that time read an article about an elderly gentleman who had taken a beauty course because his wife had lost her sight, and it was one of the things that was really, really having a really negative impact on her health and you know, her sort of mental health and well-being. It was something she'd always done. So he went on a course to actually learn how to do it. And it just got me thinking, well, you know, if someone, you know, had that drive and enthusiasm to do that, and I had, you know, two volunteers in the office who were telling me of their struggles, you know, isn't it something I really want to look at and try and get round? The idea was originally meant to be a face-to-face idea, bringing people together. I cover the area of Rumbleton and Taff. So my idea, first of all, was starting it with my social group members and some of my other members in that community and bringing them together in one place. And then obviously COVID happened. And it was one of the things I decided, could I do it? Could I do it as an online workshop over Zoom? That was my next question. So that's what kind of led me into creating the pilot for the Beautifully Blind tutorials. I worked together with a volunteer of mine called Fran, who is very inspiring. She actually does some fantastic makeup herself, but she took a lot of years of, you know, real work to, you know, find out how to, you know, create her own techniques. But that had probably been about 10 years in the making. And that was just one person. So, you know, together we sort of came up with a program that we felt would be a real step-by-step guide to, you know, to help women to know exactly, you know, some of the best techniques, and actually just to almost to find out the best technique for them. There is no one size fits all, as we all know with sight loss and any of the difficulties. It was finding something that would work for everybody. So that's kind of how it all began.
And what kind of people have you had joining the sessions so far?
It's actually been really lovely. We've had, because I was able to run it online, it hasn't been restricted to just the Rhondda-Cynon and Taff area, which was first intended. On the pilot last year, I actually had people from Newport, Cardiff. I had a lady from North Wales, some West Wales, and I very much got the same this time around. So I'm just started, I'm 3 weeks into the second session. We're very fortunate to have had £10,000 funding from the Ecclesiastical Group, the Movement for Good Awards. So I'm able to run the course again. So, yeah, this time, obviously, the interest has been really, really great again. I can't run it with any more than about 10 because obviously it is quite detailed. You need to give everybody, you know, their fair time. And we're practicing. We practice, practice and practice again. The sessions are broken down into 10 for a reason. We don't rush over anything. We go back over things. So, you know, it's broken down into eyes, and then there's, you know, there's eye makeup, there's face foundation. So it's all very much person led as well to the pace of it. But I found this time, you know, the reach has been greater, and hopefully with more funding, we'll be able to carry on the course again. I'm in the process of developing a handbook as well, and possibly going on to deliver it face to face when such time allows.
What are the main challenges that blind and partially sighted people have when they're thinking about makeup?
Eyes are a huge problem for most people, obviously to do with the sensitivity as well. We look at everything, as I say, on a, you know, person by person basis. Everybody has different challenges, but it's really about finding those techniques. And we give an awful lot of time to finding, you know, from everybody's different level of sight, what's going to work best for them. The general challenges are the same because it's quite intricate, makeup can be, and it's also very individual. So, you know, it's about that person finding, you know, what they want to get out of it. And they all have different, everybody has different needs. Some people don't want a full face, but they perhaps want to tackle mascara, something they've never been able to do, or need some advice as well on what may be good for sensitive eyes, for example. So, you know, we're learning as we're going along. These ladies are teaching each other as well. And this is what's so amazing and so empowering with this course. That, you know, we're all on this kind of, it sounds a real corny thing to say, but this journey to, you know, discovering what is best for people. And you know what? To see people coming alive from it, people telling me, I've got my sparkle back. You know, I found myself again. This is something I'd never thought I'd be able to do. You know, I feel different. You know, this is what we're getting from the course. That's what, you know, from the first course. And it just really inspired me to carry on and deliver it and hopefully be able to deliver it into the future as well.
And are there any sort of gadgets or gizmos that you use to make it more accessible for people with sight loss? Or is it all sort of standard equipment that you'd be able to pick up in a pharmacy?
It is. The tools that we kind of start with are our hands. We use fingers, techniques, cotton buds, you know, just the stuff you can pick up anywhere, really. Sometimes it's actually we found it's easier to be applying everything on touch as if you had no sight at all. And then for those who have got some useful vision, they are able to then check after. And we suggest techniques of then how to just refine it as well by perhaps just something as simple as going around the edge with a little cotton bud if there is any extra on there. So there's nothing I'd say to people, go out and buy. I certainly really don't want this course to be, you know, where we suggest all these fantastic products and you must go out and get them. It's very much up to the individual.
Fantastic. And if people are interested and would like to find out a bit more information about SiteLife and about the course itself, what's the best way to find that out?
So you can contact me directly via email, which is caris.groves@sitelife.wales. Everything is on our SiteLife website. I've also got a Facebook page, which is called SiteLife RCT. And then there's obviously our main page, which is SiteLife Cardiff. Via Facebook, via email, you know, please get in touch. I'd love to hear from anybody interested.
That's great. Caris Groves, Community Coordinator for SiteLife Wales. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Howell. And if you are in Wales and interested in taking part in the next Beautifully Blind course, you can always, of course, contact Caris Groves by phone. The number is 077-53-305-631, or you can also fire an email. So it's caris.groves@sitelife.wales. Now, Caris is written as CARYS and then .groves@sitelife.wales. And you can also find all of these details on our podcast description. So give us a follow. It's RNIB Happy Hour Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Still to come on the Happy Hour, Paulina will be bringing us a random fact for today that somehow connects to towels. We'll be chatting blind darts and hearing from one young woman about her experience of living with Bardet-Biedl syndrome. That's coming up next.
Getting a bit hot and cold there with Katy Perry on RNIB Connect Radio. Paulina and Holly here on the Happy Hour, still keeping you company for a little longer. And now, Holly, I have a really, really, really random fact for you today. And it has something to do with towels, of all things.
Okay, I don't know if this is... I don't know. Yeah, I feel very interested by this. Go on, enlighten me.
So I'll be curious if you'll know what it references to, because you kind of have, you would have had to read the book. So Towel Day, or National Towel Day, takes place on the 25th of May, and it actually has something to do with the late author Douglas Adams. So I don't know, have you heard of Douglas Adams?
I have heard of him, but honestly, I haven't read any of his books. That's probably really bad, isn't it?
No, it's okay. The books are the books are fun. You can always check them out. I'm pretty sure they're in the RNIB library. So the book we're talking to, if you are a fan, you probably know, is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And National Towel Day is a way to celebrate the late author. Now, if you are listening to the Monday episode of the Happy Hour, well, you have time to get your towel and carry it around with you on a National Towel Day, which I think is going to be a Wednesday. But if you're listening to the repeat, well, you might have to put it in your calendar for next year. So in the meantime, Holly, do you think you'll bring a towel, or would you feel like a fake?
I feel like a fake, but at the same time, I feel like I should also join in just to make up for the fact that I am not knowledgeable on these books. So who knows, maybe I will bring my towel either this year or join in next year once I've read the books.
Yeah, so the books will be on RNIB's reading services. So the address for that is readingservices.rnib.org.uk. You can catch up and remind yourself what the books, what happens in the books if it's been a while, or read them for the first time. They're really, really good. I have to say I love them. And towels are very useful, as according to the book, which is, I think, why we have National Towel Day, because I don't think I realize how useful they can be if we carry them around. Like, try and think of a few uses you could have for a towel on your day, just having it around your shoulders.
I mean, I'm always cold, so that could be great. Why have I not done this before?
Yeah, so it can be a blanket, or if you get too sweaty, you can wipe the sweat off your forehead. You could lay down if you're having a picnic, if it's a sunny day.
Yeah, so many uses there. I think we should improvise and clearly use our tiles more because they're really useful things, aren't they, when you think about it?
Yeah, and if it's a slimmer one, you can maybe use it as a scarf.
I mean, I've not seen anyone do that, but would be really keen to know if anyone out there does that. Why not start a new fashion trend?
Yeah, give us a line at radio@rnib.org.uk and let us know what way you would use a towel if you were carrying it around with you on National Towel Day. Now, Holly, we have something coming up just now, don't we?
Yeah, it's time to find out what life is really like living with sight loss as our Toby Davey chats with Aniba Ahmed.
I'm now joined by Aniba Ahmed from Birmingham, who has a rare eye condition called Barnett-Biedl syndrome, which she has had since birth, to find out what life is really like for her as a visually impaired person. Hello, Aniba, and welcome to Connect Radio.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well. Aniba, as mentioned in my intro, like me, you've had an eye condition since birth, and I wondered what sort of impact has your eye condition had on your life so far?
Yep, so as you mentioned, my condition is called a Lawrence-Roux Baraitser syndrome. It affects for one in 100 babies in the UK. It affects every part of the body. So for myself, it affects my vision, my hearing, speech, my kidneys, which are mild, my mild learning difficulties, and also high blood pressure, which I had learned to control the weight, and also the spondylosis as well.
And what do you see as the main challenges that you've had to cope with through your life because of your visual impairment, if there have been any challenges?
There haven't been any challenges. The only thing I would say, it can be a little bit difficult. Because if I go out and about with somebody, like a member of my family or somebody who is a friend of mine, and if I see someone who has normal vision or hearing or speech, I think to myself, I was like them. But all the time, it has been fantastic because I've got fantastic support from family and friends.
So your family, relations, and friends have been there to support you through your life. But I wondered, did it take them a bit of time to really get used to your visual impairment at all?
Nope, because at the beginning, we wasn't sure if it was BBS or Alfred syndrome. We met Kay Leeson-Beagers on Alfred syndrome UK, who came when I was little. Since all the appointments that I had when I was little from different hospitals, when I was 13, all the appointments came back positive, and it wasn't Alfred syndrome, it was BBS.
And what sort of coping mechanisms do you put in your life to sort of help you cope with things? I mean, do you need adaptions? Do you need sort of specialist software and things like that? I mean, I'm reading Braille. I don't know if you're a Braille reader, but you know, have you taken up any of those sorts of things?
Yeah, so in my day-to-day life, I have family to support me when I'm going out and about. I also got a lovely friend who is Louise Williams, who takes me out and about on a Tuesday. With technology as I'm using now, it is an iPhone with a voiceover, which I use every day, and I do use a long cane when going out and about.
Do you find that people accept you as a visually impaired person when you're out and about? Do you get some of the people who sort of might find it a bit strange or don't necessarily give the right sort of help and support when you're going into shops and things like that?
I would say I get fantastic support when I'm going into any shops with Henry and with Louise, because most of the people who we meet will say, "Well, you need any support with knowing what you're buying as well."
Yeah, well, that's great. That's really good. Aniba, you have been very much involved in many groups within the West Midlands as a volunteer in some cases, such as the Focus Birmingham groups or the RNIB West Midlands Connect community groups. How much has being part of these groups helped you, or how much have you been able to help other people who are visually impaired through attending and being part of these groups?
It has been fantastic because with my volunteering and with my group, I get a chance to meet other people with different disabilities so they know that they are not alone, and I can give them my experience of what it's been like for me as a visual impairment person.
If there is somebody listening to this conversation now who might be struggling with their sight loss or know somebody who is, what words of support and advice would you give them to enable them to take their first steps on getting help and support with their sight loss?
I would say, don't let your disability stop you from seeing your dreams and goals in life. As my parents have taught me in life, that special is not being special. Special is getting that support that that person needs in life.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Aniba Ahmed, for sharing your life story on living with sight loss with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Toby and Aniba over there. Now, I'll be hearing from Jay Johnson about blind darts. He was a guest on a previous Happy Hour, and now he has picked up the sport lately. It has helped with his confidence and happiness, and he'll be sharing that with us. And also, he'll come back at the end of the show to share today's music therapy moment. And we'll also have an uplifting recommendation from Holly today, but that's all coming after Westlife.
Baby, I know the story. I've seen the picture. It's written all over your face. Tell me, what's the secret that you've been hiding? And who's gonna take my place? I should've seen.
The 1999 track from Westlife, Fool Again, on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, Paulina, I have been watching a little bit of TV recently just to try and have some time to relax. I mean, we both know I'm not very good at doing it. But
not at all.
One thing I have been watching, I don't know if you watched this a few years ago, but it's actually returning to our TV screen. So I thought, why not catch up again, is Waterloo Road.
Oh, I've actually not heard of it. What is it about?
So it's basically, it will take you back to your secondary school days, and it's set in a secondary school, and they basically, the students get up to all sorts of drama. I mean, stuff that we would probably never do, but who knows? And yeah, it just kind of took me back to my teenage years, and it just felt very nostalgic, but in a good way. So I'm excited for it to return later this year.
So where will we be able to watch it? Do you know?
You'll be able to watch it on BBC and BBC iPlayer. So keep an eye out for that one.
Oh, there we go. And hopefully with audio description as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't heard anything about the new episodes having AD, but I know when it was on TV last time it did. So I imagine that it will do, which will be really good because I think something like that definitely needs AD. And let us know what you think, or if you've got any uplifting recommendations for us. I'm always looking for a new book or TV show to check out.
Oh, absolutely. So once again, our email is radio@rnib.org.uk, or Holly is on Twitter. Holly, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is Life of a Blind Girl.
So there we go. Girl is written without an I as well. Now, let's move on to Happy Hour. And if you're looking to pick up a new sport and meet some new people, you could do it by trying some darts. We'll be chatting blind darts shortly on the Happy Hour. But first, here's Hurt You and Toni Braxton.
Here we go. Damn. Here we go again. Loving you caused me so much pain, but you don't see it, you never see it. So why apologize? I was just doing what I had to do.
Jay Johnson is a partially sighted darts player that has recently made history when he represented Northern Ireland at the Disability Darts World Cup. So to chat all things darts, bullseyes, and trying out new things, here he is. It is so nice to have you on the show, Jay.
Hello, Paulina. It's nice to be here.
Jay, so let's get this one out of the way. Let's start with this. Darts. How in the world did you decide to try darts, of all things?
I know, like, somebody that's partially sighted throwing sharp, pointy things, what could possibly go wrong? It was during lockdown after Christmas last year, an interview with a stroke survivor, and he was talking about disability darts and the benefits that it had for him. And I thought, well, it's a short game. I could try it at home and it'll pass time during lockdown. So that's where it all started.
I imagine you were quite good at it then when you started, because, I mean, it's quite a leap in a short period of time from being a beginner to actually going to championships.
Yeah, well, I never expected that. With my sight, I struggled to make out the different beds. So focusing on the doubles and the trebles and the bullseye is quite hard. I like to challenge myself. I had set the target of international level after 3 years and then challenging for titles in 5 years. Well, I didn't think I'm going to start playing this and I'm going to be playing for my country this year. Never in a million years did I expect it. I remember one day there was a guy on the bus was chatting to me and I told him that, oh yeah, I've bought a dartboard and I'm starting to play darts. And he just laughed. He said, don't be daft, there's no way you'll be able to play darts. And I didn't see him again until after the World Cup. And the local newspaper did a full page write-up the day of the World Cup about me playing disability darts World Cup. Came back from it, and it was a week or two later, I saw him. He just came over, threw his arms around, gave me a big hug. He goes, you are unbelievable. I thought you were mad when you said about playing darts because with your sight loss. He goes, you've just shown me that anything's possible if you put your mind to it. He goes, so proud to say I didn't know you. And that there, Paulina, just, it meant so much. That this is a guy that doubted me at the start. And he said he felt quite humbled. You know, he was putting me down. He told his wife when he got home about the crazy guy on the bus. And then it proved him wrong. So yeah, it was a nice thing.
How did you find the reaction was when you went to the World Cup? Was it different? Was it more positive and more welcoming? Or was it a bit of a skeptical?
No, because when I phoned Disability Darts Scotland to ask about joining, I was told that, don't worry about that. We've got a couple of other visually impaired players in Scotland. And when I went along to the tournaments, people with varying disabilities, it was great. Everybody just accepted you for who you were. You weren't judged because of your disability. And at the World Cup, it was the exact same. I made friends with another partially sighted darts player from England, a guy, Richard. And he was playing for England. There was a young girl, Jenna, playing for Scotland. And a guy from Glasgow called Peter Wright, playing for Team GB. So, you know, there's a couple of hundred darts players there, but there's four of us that were visually impaired. We weren't treated any differently. You're just parts of the disability darts family, and you're just treated the same as everybody else.
So what would you say to anyone who is listening to you talk about darts? What would you say to encourage them to give it a go? Why do you love darts? Why is it fun?
It's fun because it's like a laid-back atmosphere. 99.9% of people that play darts are really friendly and supportive and very understanding. I would encourage anybody, no matter where you are in the UK, look up WDDA, the World Disability Darts Association, and join your national group, the Joint Disability Darts Scotland, £10 for 2 years membership, and then you have regular tournaments. Give it a try. You might enjoy it, and who knows, you could be like me and end up playing for representing your country in international tournaments.
Which I imagine was quite an honour, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yes. You know, the World Cup was held in Scotland, and the opening morning of the World Cup, all the teams went outside the hotel, and then we got piped in to the hotel, where there's about 100 people in the hotel to watch the darts. Scotland went in first as the home nation. Northern Ireland, we were in behind Scotland. And see, just hearing the pipes. Sorry, I got a bit emotional just thinking back to it. Sorry, just getting the bagpiper piping and walking in and wearing your country's international shirt. And oh, the surreal thinking, just over 6 months ago, I'd never thrown a dart. And here I am, representing Northern Ireland at the World Cup. You know, it was a bit strange trying to take it all in. But then once I saw my fiancé and her family there, overcome the emotion, it just burst into tears. It was just a fantastic experience. Because I live in Scotland, I only met my Northern Ireland teammates the day before the tournament started. They were just the same as my friends in Disability Darts Scotland. I thought we'd known each other for a long time. You just felt everybody chatting made the feel of ease and part of the family straight away. A weekend that I'll never forget for all the right reasons.
Oh, it sounds amazing, Jay. Now, I know you have some big plans. So what is next for you? Would you mind sharing what are you planning to do next?
Yeah, well, when I lost my sight, the first sport I played was bowls. After the World Cup, I thought, right, made club history in bowls. I've played for my country at darts. The only thing bigger would be Team GB. So during the Paralympics, I was watching and I discovered goalball. So I got in touch with Goalball UK. So I'm going to join it with the hope of qualifying them for Team GB. So I've set the bar a bit higher for that one. And then there's just one crazy idea at the back of my head, but I don't have the contacts to make it happen. I was told when I lost my sight that I wouldn't be able to travel alone, wouldn't be able to work again, I would never achieve anything in life, I would never drive again. So I've ticked off everything apart from driving. I would love somebody from Top Gear to hear this, because I would love to try and break the land speed record for visually impaired driver, but that's just a crazy idea at the back of my head. Of all the things I was told I would never do, that is the last one that I haven't ticked yet. And I thought, what better way to prove myself right by breaking the world record?
Well, there's nothing wrong with dreaming big, Jay, and we're absolutely going to keep our fingers crossed and keep in touch with you and see how you get on with all these grand plans. But
thank you.
In the meantime, it's been so lovely chatting, and let's catch up again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks again for chatting to me, boys. Lovely chatting.
And if, like Jay, you would like to try darts, you can find out more information by visiting Facebook. So just look for WDDA, World Disability Darts Association Group. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.
Can I tell you something just between you and me? When I hear your voice, I know I'm finally free. Every single word is perfect as it can be. And I need you here with me. When you lift me up, I know that I'll never fall. I can speak to you by saying nothing at all.
And that's it for today's happy hour. We're going to end the show, as always, with our music therapy choice.
Now, if you enjoyed this show, you could feature on it yourself. Just share a song that means a lot to you for a music therapy moment. Or, you know what, send us over some random happy facts that you would like us to chat about or just find out about. We would absolutely love to hear them.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Email us at radio@rnib.org.uk. Now it's bye from us, and to play us out with his music therapy moment, once again, it's Jay Johnson.
Hi, I'm Jay Johnson. The song I've chosen for today's show is one that always gets me fired up and helps me focus before any big sporting event that I'm taking part in. Reminds me of happy times supporting Northern Ireland football team whenever we're beating the likes of England and Spain. Became our unofficial anthem. So the song is by the one and only Neil Diamond and Sweet Caroline.
You are listening to the Happy Hour podcast, a trimmed down version of our hour-long show. If you've enjoyed the songs and would like to hear them in full, along with all the interviews, tips and chat, just catch the full show on RNIB Connect Radio. We're on every Monday at 1 p.m. with a repeat Thursday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. But for now, thank you for listening to the Happy Hour podcast.
Who'd have believed you'd come along?
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.